Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. A reminder that the number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest after the top of the hour news is 541-472-1270. If you want to jot that one down when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thoughts that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your comment or question our guest. Our guest today, Josephine County Commissioners 2 out of 3. We have, John West and I almost made you a county counselor again.
Yeah, well, been that role too.
Dan the Young. Gentlemen, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Thank you for finding your way here through the smoke, which is not bad this morning. Listed as moderate, but boy, last night it was thick in the hazardous range. And that brings me to the first question today. And I'm not sure we have an answer, but it's certainly a topic that needs to be discussed. With the recent fires, in particular Sunday afternoon, when that fire broke out along between Monument Drive and I-5 near the North Valley High School, there was lots of confusion in terms of information getting out. And the topic today is notification of evacuation notices. There was a great deal of discussion on social media about what happened.
There's your problem.
There's the problem, social media.
You right, just answered right your own question. Nice being with you, Chuck. Got to go.
Right. And thank you very much. Let's see. We're under the impression here that evacuation notices are supposed to come from the sheriff's office. And I know things that were moving so quickly on Sunday afternoon that there wasn't probably time to get the announcements out to certainly us and other areas and put it on the immediate emergency notification system that the county has. But I do know that the sheriff's office and emergency management people were going door to door. And that came out today. But there was lots of speculation about information getting out. Now, does that fall under the commissioner's bailiwick in terms of overseeing the sheriff and county management? Do we have any information there? Is there an answer to this question about social media getting in front of all the information?
I think, really, to be honest with you, we're going to learn from every fire because every fire is different. Mm-hmm. Neither one, none of them are saying that one was in a pretty close proximity to an awful lot of homes.
Yes.
So, you know, you take that instance, other than, like, say, a fire halfway up Picket Creek or something of that sort. This one had a real potential to go really fast. Emergency management was on it right away. They brought in the bombers to knock it back, you know, to kind of slow it down. They brought in the bombers right away. Then there was, I think, four helicopters on it.
John nodded his head.
They had a supply of water right, you know, within a 30-second turnaround. And there's a lot of times, I think, and don't take offense to this, but and it's Sunday, so you've got a lot of people. You've got to call them in to duty and in a hurry, and they really don't have time to say, okay, I'm going to make sure this happens. And you end up with a situation very much like door-to-door. And the sheriff, of course, it's his call for evacuation. But you could go from one to two to three in a matter of a half an hour.
Yes.
So, you know, it takes a while to assess the fire. I was off that day, and I heard about the fire, then I heard the bombers, then I saw the helicopters, and it was being handled by the people that handle the fire. I would rather they be on the fire than on the radio. No offense to that.
No, I certainly
okay?
I certainly
and then social media that. Does kick in, and you're going to get the social media set a different set of eyes looking at it from a different perspective no matter where you are. If you were farther north along I-5, it was, oh my gosh, this. If you were over on Monument, it was, oh, this. And it really spreads like wildfire, if you might excuse the pun. But that's the problem. And you know, it's easy to sit back afterwards and say, well, I wasn't notified, so I couldn't help. We're going to notify as many people as possible. We got a brand new emergency manager. I think he handled things very well. He kept me certainly informed. You know, as to what, and I said, anything you need? He goes, nope, I think we've got this. And he was on it clear up until the late hours of Sunday evening when they put it all the way back to, you know, I think you could go back to your homes and so on and so forth. So let them do their job. And if they can't get to you or the courier or whatever, don't hold it against it, because we learn on every one of them. We learn on every fire. Sheriff was in contact with me, just, you know, and I've said, do your job. And he says, yep, we got this, you know. And John, they could call him and he'd get a cat out there and he'd be right on that cat, you know, pushing dirt around and whatnot. But you're not going to see Dan DeYoung on a cat. You wouldn't want to see me on a cat.
So we'll
I'd
get John's,
more damage.
We'll get John's phone number.
Yeah, get John's back line, the cat line, we call it.
First of all, let's send out kudos. First responders were there quickly, efficiently, and handled it beautifully.
Yes.
In retrospect.
Yeah, no T-shirt. We didn't name the fire, and there's no T-shirt. So don't try to buy a T-shirt on this one.
All right.
It was out before we could get them printed.
But you can certainly understand the public's perception with the flat fire being on, and then,
yes,
then the Smith River Complex and being cut off from California on Highway 199 and the sheriff's evacuation notices,
yes,
going out in the O'Brien area. People were very, very nervous, particularly, yep, with the dry conditions, yep, right now and what's been going on. And that's been all over the media.
Yep.
So is there a better way? You know, I'm not putting us first. We're there and available anytime that
sure,
that we're needed.
And we appreciate that.
So we're ready to step forward. I don't know if there's a way to improve the communication or handle it differently or if it needs to be handled differently. That's the question today because there was an awful lot of panic. All right, put it on social media. It was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And people here on our radio station at the very highest levels were concerned about how it was handled. And are looking ahead, certainly not now to point fingers, but in the future to handle it better.
Well, let's look at that. Let's critique every fire. That's not a problem with the Board of County Commissioners. If there's a better idea out there and a better way to handle it, us three, we'd love to hear it.
So,
you know, I think, you know, we'll critique every fire, and maybe we want to sit down, you know, and say, okay, what did we do right and what did we do wrong? And hopefully get it, you know, different in the future. Social media is always going to be social media. It's here to stay. And, you know, there's a good side and a bad side to it.
Half of our news department was called in Sunday afternoon and was putting things out on social media to calm things down.
Yeah.
But that didn't calm it down.
No, and you're absolutely right. With the flat fire, with the fire down in 199, down Pat's Creek, and there is a lot of anxiety. As that builds up, and then we're in a tinderbox, as you know, John and I, Commissioner West and I, were just talking before the show, you snap your fingers and the static might light something. So we've got to be very, very careful out there. We're getting a fire, almost little spot fires, almost every evening, and a lot of resources going to that. Any one of those could burn out of control, and then plus we see coming off the heels of Lahaina, you know, and what could happen, and talent so close to us, and so on and so forth.
We saw that years ago at talent when just went
exactly.
The
so there's an awful lot of anxiety and around fire in general. So we just kind of keep that. If we could do better, we're always striving to do better.
So Chuck,
first of all, were you out on the bulldozer?
No. No, but I was,
okay.
I mean, I was being I was in contact, knowing step by step. So when the fire started, it wasn't very far from ODF's office,
mm-hmm,
and Rural Metro's station was right there. So they were immediately on it, but it was wind driven from a northeast wind. And so it was moving along. That's very, very dry country right there, grass and brush. So by the time our emergency management team got the call, hey, there's a fire, the sheriff was notified. The emergency management team is not the one that makes any sort of evacuation order without the sheriff's. The sheriff has that authority to do that. That's his job.
That comes from the sheriff. We understand that.
So by the time the sheriff gets notified, hey, there's a fire, they're already on it, fighting it. I asked the emergency management team. I said, hey, are we going to go to Everbridge and do an alert? Well, you don't send that alert out to everyone in Josephine County because the people in Murphy is not under an evacuation notice or a notice for a fire. So what I was told was, you know, the sheriff made a call, state police was involved, everybody was on it. Social media had already, at the first flume of the smoke, they were already going rampant.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't control social media. So emergency management, they had multiple people on the fire, and they said, listen, we can go door to door faster than we can do our Everbridge alert for these houses in this circle, not knowing if they're even going to get the alert on their phone because not everybody's a subscriber. Some people sees it and says, oh, I don't know if this is right or not. You know, I this could be a spam or a hacking. And so we have some of that. So to make sure every home that was affected got a notice, they went door to door. They started going door to door. And that way no one was left out. And so you can criticize, you know, anybody can criticize the call, but it was a small enough area that it was faster going door to door than it was sending out that alert. Now, did somebody not say, hey, let's call the radio station, let's call them? And while they're calling, talking to you, they're not going to the next house. You know, so they were going door to door.
I understand that, John, and please don't confuse my remarks with criticism. We saw in the aftermath what was going on, and there was almost panic created in other areas due to a lack of communication. And I'm not sure where that communication would come from, or if you need an extra body assigned to do that sort of thing, whether it's responding on social media, where it's calling the radio stations, where it's going to door-to-door, or putting up a PA announcement driving around the neighborhood. The word was not getting out about how localized this was and how it was being responded to, and the panic spread throughout the county. So please don't confuse my comments as criticism. It is not. It is identifying a problem and seeing right. if there is a better way to attack this situation.
I think, you know, and the fact that it was on Sunday.
Correct.
That's one thing. But we have a public information officer, and there's a good possibility. I think it would be prudent for us as the Board of County Commissioners to sit down with emergency management and the public information officer, because that information officer should be on call 24/7 for a situation like this, and that would be his duty to get a hold of the stations and Everbridge or whatever it is at the time. I think we have that warm body. During the week probably wouldn't have been a big deal. I don't know where JPR was. He's Jason Roberts is our public information officer. Haven't talked to him about it. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen him this week. But you know, maybe that's something we're open for it. And another thing, everybody has their way of being communicated with. So part of the challenge is going to be for KJO KLDR to say this is how we want to be reached. And okay, is it phone, text, email? What do you want? And then we will narrow that down so that if we can get it down to where it's one phone call takes care of all of it, takes care of all of you in one bundle, that's fine. But I think that's where we need to go next. So, and we'll take your we will take your criticism as not criticism,
not
constructive.
Criticism. Just
constructive.
There was a situation that maybe could have been better.
Yes, and we'll never say it could never have been better.
Yeah, correct. We're not saying we did everything perfect.
No, absolutely.
What we're trying to say is you have to make a decision
you're dealt.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got state police, you got sheriff, you've got firefighters, you're trying to think out how do we get these citizens in? You got, you know, I drove over to the scene. People were sitting on top of their vehicles and their rigs watching. You know, that's where we get a huge hang up. The traffic was a nightmare. You know, they're trying to close the roads off, and it turns into, you know, and everybody's on social media taking pictures and talking, you know, and so we're going to learn from everything. But I think we don't take this as, oh, you're trying to make us we did everything wrong, because I know you're not saying that.
The fire got put out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
End result.
The response.
No houses.
The response was great. Incredible. Yes. Hats off to all the responders there. No doubt about it. The problem, I think, is just, and this may be a problem nationwide right now as we deal with social media, is communication. Now, we're set up here where our news staff is on call 24/7. We have a call tree of who gets called next if one person's not available. So that, and we're just a small niche in this situation. We're there and we're ready to help. And we did have a person on this, not on the scene, but here, coordinating efforts and putting out, announcements, not only over the radio, but on social media also. Our news director was in Sunday afternoon and he's still blurry-eyed for that. However, once again, we're just a small niche and I'm just wondering if there's a better way to do it. Certainly not taking this as criticism. But as a way to do it better next time.
No, I agree with you, Chuck. What we do want to make sure is whoever calls you gives you accurate information. And what was going on there, things were changing so fast.
Accurate information is the key.
Yes,
accurate.
Yes. So, but everything was changing so fast from when it first started. It was heading towards I-5. There's houses in between. At one time, I was told that, hey, it's heading for our emergency management building, and Dutch Brothers is back there, you know, and it's like...
That's in the industrial area.
Yeah, in the industrial area. And then it seemed like they headed it off and maybe it turned or, you know, and started moving towards that. There's a little hill in between the freeway and where the fire was. And so things change, and so I've already had the discussion with some of the emergency management people that what was happening right now, 2 minutes later, something was changing. And so you're already, before you can call the radio and say, this is what's happening, it's old news because it was happening so fast. And so that's not an excuse not to call. I'm just saying that, boy, if you were out there on yourself trying to report, you were already behind the curve after you reported it, and so it's tough. It's moving fast, and then also, you know, the sheriff he sent deputies there, and he's involved, and so he's got to react off the information he's getting, and he wants to make sure that he does not react off of bad information it's accurate, and we don't want anybody to panic. We want them to know, you know, if there's an imminent danger. So it can be a little bit kind of dicey at times.
It's all according to what's going on in real time. Now you and I know, Chuck, don't we? The power of this microphone.
Yes, we do.
You've done enough. You and I have done both enough announcing in large-scale events. The guy on the microphone is the first responder for crowd control, you know, at Boatnick. You know, get away from the boat dock. Get away from the river. We've got a problem down there. Make a hole. You name it. The guy on that microphone can reach a whole bunch of people just like that. But you're absolutely right. John's absolutely right. Let's make sure the information we're putting out on that microphone
is accurate.
Yes. So we'll go. You know, we'll take this and all good conversation this morning, to be real frank with you. And we appreciate the input rather than criticism.
Right.
We'll
call it input. It is not criticism.
It's not.
It's something that can be looked at.
All right. We'll give you that. John, we're not going to make a decision here, but we'll bring it up to a vote.
Not going to throw the gauntlet down?
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. It's been exciting so far. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you with us this morning. County Commissioners, 2 out of 3 are in studio today. We've got John Weston. I want to say Brian Gillegrain's this morning. It's standing.
No, hey.
I don't know why that is coming out of my head.
David, just say, you call me Brian Gillegrain's. David would be rolling over. He's a good friend. He was a very good friend of mine.
Knew the man well. At any rate, we've been talking about some of the reactions to the latest fire situation that's going on and communications being put out to the public by various channels, and just seeing if there is a better way to do it. In the meantime, though, there is the county's emergency notification system. Can you outline how that works right off the top of your head for us?
I don't know. I can't. I'm not going
to
make.
Go to the county website.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to stuff like that, I'm not going to micromanage that we have those teams in position. It's just like when something's going on with the roads.
No. When people can sign up to receive notifications.
They can do that on the website.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got to put in a password and so on and so forth, I think. I'm not the IT guy. So
so I would, you know, if you would like to have the emergency manager and the director here on radio to explain it to the people, we'd be more than happy to, you know, set that up. You know, I really would like for them to explain it, because if I miss one little thing,
then you're a bad guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm okay with being a bad guy, but I don't want, it's called accurate. I want to make sure whatever said is accurate. And as the commissioner said, we're not micromanaging them. They give us reports. They tell us what's going on. We don't tell them, oh, go over there and do this, go over and do that, because that's their job. They know what to do. And so so I would rather them give you the accurate information of how you subscribe, how you set up, what you're going to get, how it works. I think that would be better than me, because if I get something wrong and someone hears it, and then I put somebody in jeopardy, and I don't want to do that.
All right, so we'll continue this and let's talk about getting some of those emergency managers in here.
Okay.
We can certainly talk about that a little bit later. But this is a Tuesday talk show. We're down to about our last minute and a half here. What else are the people talking to you about? And Dan raised his hand.
Yes.
And I said Dan, too. I don't know.
I came prepared. Let's talk about the fairgrounds, and we just coming out of the fair, and how did it turn out? We don't have a final tally on the dollars and cents, because we still have bills coming in, and we still have commissions and whatnot to pay out. Our Southern Oregon Emergency Aid right now is at the fairgrounds, and they're very minimal activity on that, because of we were a place for people to bring their animals and stuff in the event of anything getting closer to us. Horse racing begins September the 3rd out there. Lake Selmac, part of our parks division, because parks and fairgrounds are commingled together. And out at Lake Selmac, we set up a fire camp out there. I think it's ODF, Ritz from us.
No, it's Team 13.
Team 13 has rented a portion of the campground at Lake Selmac. A lot of positive response and a lot of comments in regard to the fair in general, but we take those, and every year we sit down and critique that. The fair board sits down and critiques that and tries to make the fair bigger and better every year.
All right, Dan, let's hold that and continue that right after the top of the hour news.
Thank you, Chuck.
We'll do that, and all of you stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you been?
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. We invite your phone calls, your comments, your questions here for our county commissioners today. Phone number is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment directly to our guest today, County Commissioners Dan DeYoung and John West are in studio. And Dan wanted to jump in right out of the break here. And Dan, you raised your hand, so we'll call on Mr. DeYoung.
And looking out of the windows of KJO KLER, it looks like the fog has rolled in, and it's almost, you can't even see the street from here. Chuck, that's Visqueen over the windows. They're painting the building.
Our facility is being painted here, and we tip our hats to Mr. Wilson.
It looks foggy. This building, 5 feet.
We usually have a great view out at looking at least to the east here at our studios, and the Visqueen is over as we're getting the building painted and a lot of the siding repaired and just keeping Grants Pass Broadcasting in top condition, and we always tip our hats to the Wilson family, who have always done that. And now with that,
we were talking fairgrounds,
and
we'll finish that up.
Let's finish up with the fairgrounds now.
Yeah, and you know, the new pavilion out there, we took out about, I think it's two of the old food booths out there at the fairgrounds along the midway, and put in that pavilion with seating and whatnot in there. That was kind of a trial run. We were expecting more tables and chairs. There was an outfit that was going to put in more tables and chairs. So we'll look at that. We write that down and critique. I went to see Heart to Heart on Friday night, I believe it was. Very good concert. Heart to Heart was performing in the parking lot by the midway or by the carnival at the same time the four-wheel drive truck boat was going on. So a little conflict there.
Little sound battles.
Yeah, just scheduling. But I think when the smoke rolled in and the heat came in on Saturday, I think that was a real game changer out there. But I think overall, I think the success of the fairgrounds going to to free admission, I think, was a great deal. They're trying to run some numbers on that, trying to figure out. I suggested maybe putting a camera at every entrance so you could come back later and figure out how many people actually used the fairgrounds and came to the, you know, what their attendance was for the year. So we're waiting for the final numbers on that. But I think all in all, I think the fair was a huge success. So
all right. So that include the parks. Are we done?
Was that what you need? Park, yep.
That's what we needed to get out.
Well, wait a minute. Out there at, you know, we've got a lot of positive response to the upgrade on the playground equipment out at Tom Pierce. And attendance at our parks is just about normal this year. You know, they're not, some nights are sold out and some nights aren't. So that's, I think we're right on schedule. We haven't, you know, the economy, of course, affects a little bit, but I think, you know, when people want to get away, that's still a real, affordable way to go spend time with your family around a campfire or whatever in the campgrounds.
We have some great parks
wherever you can, you know, get together. So I think it's a great deal.
Any brief updates on White Horse Park?
Not right now. No, that is just kind of in limbo right now. So we'll just leave that one.
Oh, okay. All right. We were talking about a lot of the emergency management things going on with the fires, and a lot of what's going on right now is traffic and the roads. And I know, John, you wanted to deal with this because there's lots of extra traffic out there, not only people being rerouted around, but people going out to sea, and we want to discourage that. And what areas are really areas people should stay away from?
So, Chuck, we're not trying to take away people's rights to travel the roads. It's just right now 199 is shut down. It's just not safe. Some of the firefighting rigs that's tried to get through, they've lost their windshields, side windows. It's just there's rock slides, there's trees coming down, plus the fire. And so that's 199's down. Lone Mountain Road's closed. The 4202 road's closed. And you cannot get around that way going to Patrick's Creek. The fire is up in the Oregon area there. And so the teams are up there working, putting in dozer line, hand line, trying to, you know, so we really need the public, as much as they would like to go and see where it is and what's going on, we really need them to stay out of those areas and let the responders do their job. I've been told that, if we got on to, Trip Check has those closures, but Google does not respond real well with all of us. And so, we're seeing an amazing amount of traffic now wanting to go over Bear Camp, and with the flat fire and all the traffic that's already up there, that road is just getting congested, and it's now becoming not safe. There's a lot of area up there that doesn't have cell service. So if there is an accident or something that happens, some of it is just, it's tough. You can't make a phone call. And so,
well, it's an emergency route into the flat fire area for responders also.
Yes. And so right now, if you're wanting to go to Crescent City or Brookings, the coast, you either take the route. I know it's out of the way and it's a long ways to go, but either go up to Winston, cut across 42 in that way, or go down south and go around. But you know, right now, boy, just asking the public just to give us a breather and try to stay out of those areas because it's really congested.
Yeah, do not add to the needs of these first responders out there who are battling lots and lots of different things. So
yes,
it's best to stay home. All right, gentlemen, so far so good. We've had a pretty good day so far. Anything else on the commissioner's agenda? I know we have a business meeting tomorrow morning, but I've checked the agenda and it's pretty light.
Well, we're still on roads. An update on Gleese Road, because used a lot by the rafters and people that want to go down to Grave Creek and whatnot. Now they're having to go around through Leland. Mm-hmm. And I just want to let you know an update on that. We received a letter from when we considered going down there and opening that road. And we received a letter from BLM, basically telling us not to do that because they have that well in hand. And what they're going to do is they've got it. I think they're going to start in November, They were going to put the, they're like, you've seen the big chain, you know, like a chain link fence that, mm-hmm. that stabilizes that bank. They had that order on order, and then they were told by, I think it's DEQ or whatever, the Wild and Scenic, that they really do need to have, that they really do need to have that a color, special color, because it's in the Wild and Scenic. And that's going to set that back, that chain link fence order back, I've told, between 3 and 4 months. So we're not really sure when that road will be open, but we would love to open it. All three commissioners would love to go down there, put John on that cat and have him push those rocks into the river and make national television. But we also have to look at the liability for the county if someone would get hurt down there. And as we are seeing on 199, that's a good example of what happens when a fire goes through. I know it came through there a year ago, but when, you know, it's been through a winter and maybe that's all the rocks that are going to come down, but we're not sure of that. And I'm not the one to make that call. So
I'm sure most people have seen the pictures of Highway 199 and the rocks that are on it.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And I have a brother from Kansas who likes to see big trees when he visits. Sent him those pictures and he sent back a teardrop. Really hard rendering.
Yep.
At any rate, John.
Yep, that's it for me. Thank you.
We have another guest who has just joined us. John, would you like to introduce our new guest here?
Yes, this is Michael Sellers, our IT and emergency manager director. So I'll let him explain some of what's been going on.
Hey, Michael, welcome to the microphone.
Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for listening.
Good.
Thanks for taking time out of your schedule to come in and enlighten us on some of these
Absolutely.
Things. Absolutely. First of all, what's the best way for people to get emergency information from the county?
Sure. At this point, the best place for them to go is RVEM, mm-hmm. for Rogue Valley Emergency Management.org. There is also links to Citizen Alert, which is our system that we send out, where we sent the alerts out on Sunday. And I heard you all on the radio because I'm an avid KJO listener, and we were in a briefing, and I apologize for not being here earlier. Chuck, I was going to say I'd rather just read off the release we put out yesterday, because I think that'll answer a lot of the questions about what happened on Sunday.
Well, by all means, the microphone is yours.
Sure, thank you. So it says, on Sunday during the fire off of Monument Drive in Grants Pass, the Josephine County Sheriff's Office and the Oregon State Police rapidly ordered evacuations in the immediate area near the fire. Josephine County Emergency Management put out notices via the Citizens Alert System, social media, and through RVEM.org, the Rogue Valley Emergency Management website. OSP and the sheriff went door-to-door during the initial evacuation, and as levels were reduced due to the successful firefighting operations, those were released as well. The professional and quick work by firefighters and law enforcement prevented any loss of life or property. The system worked the way it was supposed to, and what we want to encourage folks to do is sign up for Citizens Alert. They can do that on the Josephine County website or at RVEM.org, and we will certainly make sure that our local partners in media have they get those alerts as well as part of our media group. We'll take care of that today.
I know our part of our news staff is signed up for those alerts, and that's some of the information that we were putting out here.
Mm-hmm.
In your perspective, is there a way to better handle the information that is not accurate, that's not being put out by official sources?
As Commissioner DeYoung put it very well, we can't control social media. So folks that get their primary news through social media, we do have a social media platform as well, and we made sure we were putting information out there. All we can do is just put the information out, and folks are going to consume it in the manner that it's appropriate for them.
So you were busy on Sunday afternoon also, I take it.
Jason and I have been on every day since the fire started. So I have a wonderful partner in Jason, who's the emergency manager. I'm the emergency management director, and we're a two-man team. And we've been on the flat fire. We've been on the Smith River Complex, and we were on the fire on Sunday. We were actually headed to a community briefing in Tequilma when we had to turn the truck around and use that long pedal on the right to get back to the Emergency Operations Center.
All right. Well, we thank you for using that long pedal on the right. In your opinion, are there better ways to handle it right now? How are you going to direct your agency in the future? Are there changes coming? Is there a better way? What do you see?
There's an excellent system in place.
Mm-hmm.
Everbridge, the Citizens Alert System, works very well. It does what it's supposed to do. We're going to continue to do that. You can draw areas inside of that emergency alert system to alert just specific folks. If it escalates and goes higher than that, you can do that as well. The system's working the way that it's designed, and we're going to continue to use it, and we're going to take the input and do our very best to make sure it's better. But frankly, when information goes out, there's three different ways it goes out, and the final way is social media. That's the one that has the most public influence as far as anybody can write on there. Anybody can say anything. So it's the public square, as it were. But we can't control that. So that's going to be the least effective way for information to get out, but we're going to still do it.
All right. We can teach, but the student does have to learn.
I understand that. So do we need to do a better job teaching? Once we get into a season where you're not there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, handling fire after fire after fire, and kudos.
It's the professional firefighters. We're just button pushers. We're just putting information out to folks. I want to make sure it's crystal clear. The state police, Josephine County Sheriff's Department, and the ODF and all the firefighters, the rural metro, they did an amazing job. They deserve all the credit. All we did was relay what they were doing and followed their instructions.
You have your pulse on what's going on right now. Can you enlighten us even further? Are there areas where people should be concerned? Are areas that people should stay away from? What should people be doing right now if they're on the edges or close to the path of a fire?
That's a question for a firefighter.
Okay.
But as far as what Josephine County is doing is the sheriff has issued a level 2, which is be ready for two areas. The county is divided up into – emergency management has a bunch of grids mm-hmm. you divide the county up into. And the two areas that are closest to the border in O'Brien are in level 2, be ready. And there's an area above it in O'Brien that's level 1, which is – level 1 is be ready. Mm-hmm. Level 2 is be set. And the sheriff is monitoring it closely, and we're staying in touch with those folks. And there's a meeting actually happening right now about the Smith River complex that my partner is on.
All right. So that's been covered. Well, you're here keeping us informed. What else do people need to know about the situation that we're in right now and how to best take advantage of the information that's being put out?
Again, we would encourage folks to go to the Josephine County website and josephinecounty.gov and go to emergency management. There'll be a link there to sign up for Citizens Alert. That is the citizen. That's the alert system that we use. There's also they can opt in. They can put it, their information in there. They can also go to rvem.org and do the same thing. And we're just going to keep putting the information out that way.
All right. Well, listen, we appreciate one, yes, you're being a listener. Two, you're being concerned enough to take the time to scoot in here, driving through the smoke to get in today. Thank you very much, and pass it along to all of your buddy out there who's now covering the meetings that I assume that you wanted to be at also.
He's doing a great job. I couldn't ask for a better partner.
Okay. Once again, Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, John, what do you think about your employees here?
I'm telling you, they are doing a fabulous job. They've got thrown right into it this summer, right into the wool of things, and they've responded top-notch. I'll let the commissioner speak for him. We continue to get updates. We know what's going on. And with that, I also don't want to forget about the sheriff. The sheriff has a ton on his plate, and this just added more to it. And he's been doing an excellent job trying to make sure that those citizens are stayed safe. So it's a joint effort with everyone, and everyone, as far as I'm concerned, is doing great, and I couldn't ask for more.
When you stop and look at the gravity of the fires that we're surrounded by fire, and Michael, we haven't
certainly
lost,
on three sides right now,
right? And we have we lost any structures at all?
No,
not that I know of.
Not
that we're aware of. And that includes structures we call those woodsheds and barns and everything else. I think right now, this is just basically like whack-a-mole. You don't know when it's going to pop up again, but you better be ready to hit it. And they're doing a fantastic job, like I say.
And apparently they're ready.
Yes. Right. Responding very well. We've got good teams out there working it.
Oh, no doubt. We're going to continue right after this message.
The Grants Pass Senior.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. County commissioners are still in studio right now. Michael has gone back to his job, and we thank him very much for stopping by. Gentlemen, we've got about 5 minutes left, and we've talked about some significant things this morning. I want to thank you very much for your ears and your input. Well, what do people need to take away from today's program? Is it how to keep themselves informed, how to sort through all of that plethora of information that flows out there through social media? What's the best way? What do you think we need to take?
I think Michael kind of, I think he laid that out exactly how many different ways you can get the right information so that you can pass on the right information. So a couple other things that happened in the Valley as we're coming down to the end of it, and then I'll turn it over to John. But Representative Congressman Cliff Bentz was in town yesterday and spent the afternoon with the Board of Commissioners and other elected officials at 1 o'clock, and then he went to a 2 p.m. town hall. It's interesting to hear what the public had as far as what rattled their chain about what Congressman Bentz could work on when he gets back to Washington. And I was surprised that there was a whole bunch about local issues that are really need to be handled right here, county and state. And we have to remember that he is a federal, he's a federal guy. So I think most of the stuff that we worry about on our office that federals can handle is our ONC Act and timber and fire and things of that sort. Water is another big issue, and he's in charge of water. Also, I had an opportunity to sit down and just say hello to the governor. She was at downtown at a local restaurant, and her aide called me, and I walked over there for just a few minutes to introduce myself and you know, just introduce it. And, you know, we just had, we didn't talk policy. We didn't talk things to do or anything like that. Just, it was just an opportunity to, you know, her to, you know, meet somebody from Josephine County, and I remembered to even give her a business card. So, but she was in town, and I don't know how who all she went to visit or whatever, who she talked to. But
well, a face to face like that puts
it turns
things real.
You know, and you know, and people ask me, well, you know, what did you tell her? And I said, you know, we just had a cordial conversation because, you know, in our position, John, myself, and Herman, at some point in time, we may have to ask the governor to sign something like conflagration in the event of a catastrophic fire. I want her to have a good rapport with our elected officials that she can say, yeah, I know these people, and they wouldn't call me unless they needed it. So I think it's very important to not necessarily cement a relationship, but at least get it started on the right foot.
All right. John, hello. Okay, what do we have? A couple of minutes left?
Yeah, so, you know, we got a long ways to go in fire season. And so I encourage everyone to look out for each other, neighbor for neighbor, and everybody. And just remember, we all are going to need help one time or another, and let's be there to help each other. That's what our community is about. So, you know, and just be careful what we put out there, because some people might react to it. And so, but anyway, that's enough on that. School's getting ready to start. I want to make everybody mindful of the school buses, the kids back out on the streets, the sidewalks. We need to be paying attention, slow down just a little bit. You know, those kids are our future coming up, and we need every one of them. So, during the smoke and all the times we got, you know, I encourage everyone to just slow down and be mindful of that. And I also ask everyone, we have our weekly business session on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock, and I'd like to see as many people come and speak to the commissioners. Give us, tell us what's on your mind, good or bad. We're there to listen. And just encourage everyone to get a hold of us and come to those meetings and let us know what they're thinking.
That meeting begins tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and they do have requests and comments from citizens on the agenda. Other than that, it's a pretty short agenda. We're flipping coins to see how quickly we can get out of that meeting.
We're trying for a record.
We're trying for a record. Gentlemen, thank you very much for an enlightening day today. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show.